We're on the part of our journey in these messages on Wednesday night. And on this aspect, there is a reward for the children of God. Actually, there is a reward for everyone, but for the children of God is our focus. And we do see that there is a reward for the wicked, the unrepentant, and the unbelieving, too. So it's more of a wage. Scripture speaks about it as a payday. Nevertheless, there is a reward, and our reward is with our Lord. And we've taken a look at different aspects of that, and as the Lord's children, we don't need to make deals with God. We need to just obey Him and follow Him in what He gives us, knowing that He'll take care of the reward He's promised, and He'll do us very, very well. He will. He's already done us very, very well. The bountifulness of the graciousness of the Lord to sinners saved is without measure and without price. He's already bestowed upon us more than we can comprehend. Yet in glory, there is a reward. There is a reward here, as we saw last time, and seeing about the economy of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord blesses with that here in obedience. We saw about different aspects of that. Pardon me, last time in Matthew 16, verse 27, the scripture says there, "For the Son of Man shall come in His glory, in the glory of His Father with His angels. Then He shall reward every man according to his works." And so that passage touches not only on the children of God, but the unsaved, the unrepentant, and the unbelieving. A favorite passage of mine, and what's your favorite passage? Well, generally it's the one that you're dealing with right now. But a passage of mine that is always a passage that's always really stood out to me and has blessed my heart, and its content is found here in Luke chapter 19. And so we want to take a look at that. It is in this time of the Lord Jesus. I've pointed out about this time akin and very similar to Moses, the Lord going over beyond Jordan to the east and then coming in. There seems to be a transition, a change with the Lord. The Lord Jesus' willingness to receive glory to Himself here on the earth. He's in His ministry. He's deferred all that glory and such to the Father and worship to the Father. But there's a thing that's going on there. He is going further than the prophet Moses in that He came from that place over there where Moses could not pass from Nebo. He could not pass from those places over there because of his sin and disobedience. And Jesus is that prophet like unto him and admonished and commanded by Moses, "Hear ye him." And so now Jesus is doing just that. And we see his triumphant entry. We see his claim about the temple, all those things that are right here as he's coming up. And in these final days before he goes to Calvary, well, this account is in this, and it's in the midst of this time. In chapter 19, we see where our Lord Jesus rather passes through Jericho, and he deals with lepers going into Jericho. He deals with Zacchaeus there. And Jericho was the first stop where Joshua led the children of Israel, and the Lord gave a great battle. Okay, and so he tells about, he saves Zacchaeus and deals with him. And then we see in verse number 11, our focus for mainly for tonight. "And as they heard these things," that what are these things? That Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which was lost. Okay, that this day is salvation, verse 9, "come to this house," Zacchaeus' house, "for as much as he also is a son of Abraham," even though by the nation and by the people he would be viewed a traitor, but he is a Jew, and salvation has come to him. He is a son of Abraham, and the Lord has saved him because he came to seek and save that which was lost. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." And so that's in line with this other thing that I've described to you about the Lord coming in parallel to what Moses should have done, but what Joshua was called to do. And the Lord, the Lord does, as when he saves us, he does lead us then to the promised land, doesn't he? Indeed he does, see. And it's just so interesting how the Lord has just shadowed that and showed us that in the scriptures of what the Lord Jesus has ultimately done and will ultimately do for his children. There are those at hand among the apostles that think that Jesus, this thing's revving up and that Jesus is going to make the make Israel a great nation, kick out the Romans, set up a kingdom. That's the reason James and John want to sit on his right hand and on his left hand. They want to be there in the authority, okay? That's what they're thinking. And so the Lord speaks this parable because they think that it's going to happen here quick, okay? That the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So we have this parable. It's earthly things and accounts relative to life and living that you and I get. We understand how they happen. And the Lord is using these parables, these earthly things, to explain to us a spiritual application and meaning, or that something greater. Okay? A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, who do you think? Who qualifies for that certain nobleman? Well, obviously, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, who do you think that is? The apostles? No, that's just talking about the Lord. That's talking about people, okay? I think that's talking about people. And the Lord's giving his word. Those involved much here are the children of God. But then there's one here that tells about everybody else too. And what's he do? He commands. That's what the Lord does. Our Lord God has been commanding from the beginning. And you know what? He's supposed to. He's God. We're the created. He's the creator. He tells us what to do. Even in us, him having made us in his image and his likeness, bestowed that glory upon us. I was reading here this week and talking to someone about where the Lord Jesus says in the scripture, when they're railing on him and chiding him, the leadership is about him saying that he's the Son of God, and by their culture and by their thinking, making himself equal with God. Well, the Lord Jesus says, so what's written in the scripture? That the Lord says, ye are gods. Now, that's lowercase g, but he's given authority. He's given, there are judges and rulers and leaders on the earth amongst men that are to lead and are to rule and are to pursue. We are given the general command to have dominion over all the earth. And so, like God does, he's given some in part for mankind to do that same way. So the Lord's given command. And he is number one. He's preeminent in that. And so he says, occupy till I come. So he's given, and how do you tell somebody something? You tell them with words, don't you? And our Lord has told us with his word. And our Lord has told us through his word, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he delivers 10 pounds. He gives provision to the 10. And in this account, one each. And understand that all of us have our life. There is a parable that's connected to this or related to this. It's in the same vein regarding talents and how there's a different number of talents given. The principle is still the same. And all of us have life. And are we to use life? How are we to use life? To honor and glorify our Maker. That's a reason we're created. Go use your life. You and I go use our life to glorify ourselves. We will lose it. We take our life to glorify God. We will gain it. Because in that glorification, the Lord means we're going to listen to him and hear what he says. We go on here in verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And we've touched on this in the last several months. But here, what do we have? Open rebellion. And what do we have today? What's always been going on since the beginning? Open rebellion. So there is the open rebellion of men. We don't want him reigning over us. Now, Did he say, I'm going to go get this kingdom, and if you guys are good with it, I'm going to reign over you? No. No option. He is the king. He is Lord. He is God. But they sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us, this to reign over us. And so there's this open rebellion that's at hand, just like it is today with mankind. Verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, do you think Jesus will return? I tell you what, for the child of God, for we who are saved, we believe and know he will return. When we talk about hope, we don't hope he gets it all done and maybe makes it. That's not our hope. Our hope is a sure hope that he will come. He will come back, as he said. So he had received the kingdom. How is it that Jesus is receiving the kingdom? Well, the scripture makes it very clear. So many scriptures, Hebrews speaks about it, other passages speak about it, that the Lord Jesus has accomplished everything for the salvation of his people, those given to him by the Father. And he will return after, so that everything may be put under his feet. It also speaks about that in 1 Corinthians, doesn't it? And so he is going to subdue everything, because he is going to be the man that will do everything that God has commanded mankind to do. And praise be to God, being his child, being saved by him, being the child of God, the servant of God, the rescued person, the saved individual by the Lord. He's able to give us, we are the benefactor of him doing and accomplishing all those things. Because we're in his family, aren't we? Yeah, at the very least, we're in the Lord's family. And we say least, but it's by no means least to be in the family of God. And then there's the additional blessings of those in his church, his kind of church. That is at hand. What the Lord has done. So when he had was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Remember, this is a parable. It's a parable. It's not spot on in the service of the child of God or the person, but it's in kind to that. What have you and I done taking what the Lord has given us and used it for him and occupying till we come? Occupying, what's it talking about? Be busy. Be busy. Be busy doing what I've given you to do. And so what the Lord has given us in life, we'll just take it from the standpoint of 1 pound. He's given us life. How have we taken life and used it? And the ability, the talents, the provision of the Lord that he's given us, how have we taken that and used it for the coming, the returning of our master? How have we used it? Because he's going to want to know. Amen? He's going to want to know. Hence, for the children of God, the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Okay? That he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Does the Lord not know? Yeah, he knows, but he's going to reckon with us, isn't he? He is. He's going to reckon. We've seen a lot. We've seen that. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And you know, that's the right attitude. Father, Lord, all that you've given me has abounded for this. And it's not a thing of bragging, because we're standing before the Lord and it's a true reckoning of what's at hand, of how we've obeyed and what we've done. It's not about being braggadocious. There'll be no ability to brag there. But it'll just be truth and plainness. The parable says, what have you gained with the one? Lord, here's what it is. You know. Isn't it our Lord that on the Sermon on the Mount said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven? Now, we don't know exactly what the count is, but how is it that we lay up treasure? I think it's simple. It is very simple. Don't make it complicated. Obey. 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 Lay up the treasure by obeying. By obeying the Lord. That we just need to, moment by moment, obey our Lord. Lord, thy pound. He's the giver of life. He's the one that's put us here. It's his graciousness that he's caused us to be born. He caused all of the genealogy of each one of us in the past, all of our ancestors to live, to come down here to birth us and to bring us to life. And then he's equipped us. He's taught us. He's given unto us. It is his, isn't it? Because we are his. We are his. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little. What do you think about that? Does it seem like little to you? I tell you what, living life doesn't seem little. Living life seems really real and big. I mean, it's what you and I have in front of us. I think what the Lord is conveying to us in here is that when we go to the other side, indeed this life in this way will be just a memory. The Lord tells us about our toil and our trial. Brother Paul writes it, isn't it? He says that our suffering for a little time. Well, we know there have been those that have suffered for years for the sake of Christ. We look at the Apostle Paul and him suffering for the sake of the Lord grievously, I mean terribly, for even decades. And so it just seemed like a moment. And that's the way the affairs of this life will have seemed too. But we are living now, and we need to take them now and obey our Lord in them now. He said, you've been faithful in very little. Well, in the grand scheme of the wealth and influence and that of the world, our lives are just a speck. But you know what? They're very important to our Lord and Savior. I mean, he's interested in the finest detail. If he keeps count of hair on heads. Amen? And so he says, I've been faithful in very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? You ever notice that? It is a parable. But there's no other in that account where the Lord, that's similar to this, in the same vein, where not pounds, but talents are mentioned. This of cities is not mentioned. Authority over cities. That's interesting that the Lord would say it that way, isn't it? He told the apostles when they questioned him, Peter wanted to know, what are we going to have? What are we going to have? So you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. I think their jaw dropped open. They had no idea that their responsibility would be that great. Now, the Lord will give them what they need to accomplish that for his honor and his glory in that day. Authority over 10 cities? If we take that right down there to what the Lord has said, 10 cities, when would we have authority over 10 cities? That's the reward, is it not? It's also teaching this of the Lord's economy. Be faithful in what you've got. And the Lord makes it very clear, he'll give something else. Don't be faithful in what you've got. And then, in the example that the Lord gives, no man can have his own. And so we got to be faithful. Well, I've not been given this, or I've been given this. Whatever it is you've been given, be faithful in that unto the Lord. He said, you've been faithful in little. Have thou authority over 10 cities. When can we have authority over cities? Well, none of us are in the government here. And even if we were, we would just probably touch one county or touch one town or something like that. But when would there be a time that we could have, the children of God could have authority over cities? Would it not be in the millennial reign? Indeed. I tell you what, our Lord Jesus ruling with a rod of iron, he's going to lay down the law and the law is going to be obeyed. There will not be any open rebellion. There will not be confusion about anything. The children of God will have bodies like unto Christ, which is akin to that of the angels. The Lord Jesus says it in another place. He said they'll be like the angels. neither marry nor are given in marriage, whereas the angels. Are you ready for 10 cities? Are you ready for one city? I tell you what, how could we, as we saw Sunday afternoon, who's sufficient for these things? Who's capable? Well, by the power of the Lord. He's the giver of the ability too. A reward of responsibility over cities, for being responsible for what He gives us in this life. You know, I don't know if it'll come out that way. The new heaven and the new earth, understand, it's not going to be like that White Cloud commercial decades ago where people are floating around on the cloud strumming harps. That's not the new heaven and the new earth. No, it's busy there. No more sea. New Jerusalem is enormous. And the earth is going to be filled with the children of God. And there's going to be activity. It's not going to be everybody standing around looking at each other. I'm persuaded there'll be much worshiping of the Lord. And I think it will be that we will indeed learn. And you know what we'll do? We'll do whatever it is our Lord wants us to do and never have to go home, never have to get tired, never get tired. Have thou authority over 10 cities. You know what? It's true. It is a true principle that you and I need to get a hold of. We don't need to take right now and in our minds blow it off as nothing, if you'll pardon the vernacular. We don't need to take it and blow it off because it's little, because you know what? The Lord's watching. And faithfulness and what we've got in front of us right now leads on to what's next, whether it be here, whether it be in glory. We need to get a hold of that. May God help us we get a hold of that. Well, it's not the same as brother so-and-so, or it's not the same as sister so-and-so. It does not matter. It's what the Lord has given us individually. It's what we need to pursue and be faithful in for the honor and glory of our Lord. And the second came, verse 18, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. You know, the Lord didn't say to him, whoa, 5, what's up? Why not 10? Why not 10 like this other guy? He didn't say a thing about that, did he? He dealt with this one and how he had equipped him and his faithfulness and his pursuit for the sake of the Lord. No rebuke about how he compared to another. Understand, brothers and sisters, we're not in a race against each other. We're running a race that's set before us. Indeed, that's the picture given to us in the Scripture, but it's not against each other. We need to be supportive of one another. We need to provoke the love and good works, be an encourager of one another. But the race that we run is before our Lord, pressing to the mark that is our Lord Jesus and what He's given us to do. And in that, we're a good witness one to another. We are. We're not only a witness to the children of God. We're not only witness to the unsaved. We're a witness to our brothers and sisters in Christ about how to live, how to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, how to obey the Lord in His work. He said, you've been faithful. He said, you've been faithful in little. Be thou also over 5 cities. Wonder if that will be the case. And another came, verse 20, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. He didn't occupy till the Lord came, did he? Again, this is not all, it's not all dealing with the children of God. We have a part in this that we can understand about faithfulness. Only 3 accounts here are mentioned. 10 total are mentioned. How numerous are the children of God? We don't know what the number will be. We don't have to worry about what the number is. But examples of faithfulness to whatever degree that the Lord equipped them and blessed them and helped them, and that they were faithful. And then this one, I think representing myself, indeed representing the unrepentant, the unbelieving, that has life. But you know what? When they heard the Master's voice, occupy till I come, they first said, I know better. We saw that example and that manifestation of open rebellion. But here in this one, we see secret rebellion. And secret rebellion is at hand too, isn't it? Didn't say anything to anybody. Said, I've got a better way. I'm not going to lose the principle. I'm going to trust in my way. I'm going to trust in the earth. I laid it up in a napkin. What's he say? Here's thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. In that other related parable with the talents, it says he hid it in the earth. It doesn't say that here. He laid it up in a napkin. Does that sound like occupying till I come? What do you and I do when we fear? What is it that we should do when we fear? Fear? You know what we need to do when we fear? We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm afraid. Help me, strengthen me, that I might trust you in what you've said and not be afraid. That's why we don't, if we will fear because we falter and we fail. But when we do, let us go to our Lord. Let us ask him to forgive us for our fear. Let us ask him to give us courage in spite of our fear. Because see, courage is going on even when you're afraid. And may we go on. What's he say here? Oh, may the Lord help that this wouldn't be the case with any. I've laid up thy pound. I've kept it laid up in a napkin, verse 21, for I feared thee. Listen, he's the provider. He's the one that went to go get a kingdom and is coming back. You know why he's coming back? Because he's interested in that which is back here. He cares. He's interested. He gave provision. He didn't say, occupy till I come, and didn't give provision. He didn't say, didn't just leave without a word of what to do. But he has an interest. He said, I feared thee. You know, the Lord is to be reverenced. He's to be reverenced indeed. There is that godly, reverential fear of the Lord that each and every one of us needs to have, because as we've seen in recent times, he is a consuming fire. But we need to reverence him unto obedience. And then he says here, because thou art an austere man, rough as a gale, severe. He's accusatory. Well, in all of this, how have we seen that he's been severe or rough or boisterous as a gale? He provided, going to go off and do his thing. You know what he did in this element of the parable? He trusted them and believed very much that they would do what he said.
Right.
He had confidence that that would be the case. He's going to reckon. But he had confidence that they believed that they would. He's going to reckon. But he says here, he goes, we see it in today's world, we see it, and it's always been with mankind, accusing the one that is good for the failure of self. Lord, help us. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest, thou dost not sow. Even accuses him of being a thief. And he said unto him, the master, the nobleman, he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. So we see here that he is the judge, and he is wicked. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, according to your words. That being the case, you thinking that, taking up that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. He said, I'm going to take what you said, and if what you said is so, you should have known you should have done something different than that. See, judgment is coming for everybody. And just because we take it and we put it out of our mind doesn't mean judgment's not coming. Just because we put it out of our hearts thinking that we'll find another better way, we'll just slip by somehow, it'll just be okay, it'll work itself out somehow. Not with what he said. He said, occupy till I come. And he equipped, and he has expectation of obedience always. It won't slip by. There'll not be a one. that will slip by. He says, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? He says to this one, why didn't you just put the pound in the bank then? At least there would have been some interest, a little dab of interest, a little bit of something. But instead he went his own way. Listen to this. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Take the pound from him and give it to the one that's got 10. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. He's got plenty. Listen, remember what we saw last time, last Wednesday? Can the Lord do what he wants with that which is his? And do any of us have any room to quarrel whatsoever? None. Listen, always know, believe it, know that it's so. Our Lord doeth all things well.
Amen.
The Lord gives, and you know what? When the Lord gives, we all need to rejoice. We all need to rejoice when the Lord gives. When he is gracious and merciful, in any way, we need to rejoice. Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Verse 26, for I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given. Obey. The Lord will open things up. Not just talking about stuff, but talking about ability, talking about desire, talking about the next thing. Our walk with the Lord in this life is just very much like we're always continually just at the rise of the hill. And unless we obey our Lord and what we've got in front of us right now, we will never see what's next. In growth, in opportunity, in deliverance and strength from the Lord to do for him. We've got to be obedient in what we have right now. It's just that way. It is just that way. We got to know that and learn that. And the thing is, as it says in Romans chapter 5, we will not have experience unless we deal with what we have in front of us. What's it say there? That faith worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope worketh experience. We say, the Lord says, do this. It's too much. Go ahead and do it. Be obedient to it with good heart, good pursuit. And then the Lord will take care. He'll work. He'll give grace. He'll give grace to take it on the chin. So many ways that the Lord can work. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. The lake of fire is called the second death for a reason. Because the body has died, and there the soul, the eternal soul, will die forever. Never get done. Never get the job done. But will die forever. Even of the talent, the pound of life will be taken away. It's serious business. It is the most serious business at hand. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. And then, so that's the way the secret rebellion was revealed and dealt with. And the obedient unto the Lord. Verse 27. Did you think that maybe the open rebellion wasn't dealt with? Oh, it is too. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Secret rebellion, Lord's going to deal with it. Open rebellion, the Lord's going to deal with it. Faithfulness in what he's given us in life to obey him and serve him and walk with him with, he's going to deal with it. He's going to reckon it. And could it be that we would be given responsibility over a city in that millennial kingdom? And that eternal kingdom, the new heaven and new earth? Well, all I know is that the Lord has said what he said. That's all I know. And so may the Lord help us and bless us with his word. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. He's going to be on his way to take that kingdom.